Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's pray with this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you have a word for us today. We've already been basking in your glory today. We thank you, God, that you have a plan and a purpose for every Sunday, every day of our lives, and this certainly is part of that. And we just set aside this time. We make room for you, Lord. We make room for you in this day, and we thank you, God, for speaking to our hearts by your Spirit, Lord, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, the Lord has really stirred in me this beginning part of the year to spend time teaching on prayer. And Brother Copeland, you know, part of the prophetic word for this new year is deeper places of prayer and intercession and so forth. And Jesus, how many think if Jesus says this is how you pray, we ought to perk up and listen, right? Amen. So Matthew 6 is our foundation chapter for this. And it's something that I grew up in, you know, the 80s. I probably had a comb hanging out of my pocket and this cool hairdo. And I might have been wearing a Bugle Boy shirt or the Gene Machine or something like that, right? There were some cool clothes back then, man. And we were still wearing Vans, I think, back then, too, yeah. But back in the 80s in my youth group, they brought a teaching series to us to watch as youth. And our youth this week has been, you know, we've had special guests like Creflo Dollar and Joel Osteen the past couple weeks. So our youth home group is powering on as well and learning some stuff, talking about staying out of the dry places in life. Amen. It's, you know, God's saying something when you turn something on 2 weeks in a row from two completely different ministers and they're talking about the same thing, right? And, you know, a lot of guys don't look too much different than Creflo Dollar and Joel Osteen. But they have the same spirit of faith. Amen. But just amazing that we were, when I was in junior high school, they brought a Larry Lee. Anybody remember Larry Lee from back in the 80s? And he was teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And he was teaching on teaching it as an outline to prayer. And man, that stuck with me to this day. I still use it as an outline for prayer. Amen. And a lot of people can get caught up in just the, you know, well, you did a bad thing today. It's 17 Hail Marys and 47 Our Fathers. And light a candle and you're good. No, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with God. Right? So these aren't magic words. We're not talking about God as a genie, you know, that kind of thing. We're talking about a relationship with the Lord, which is really what separates Jesus with other faiths. I heard, I think it was Jesse say this past week, one of the big differences is we have a God that's alive. Somebody say amen, right? And he wants a relationship with you and with me, right? A father-son, father-daughter relationship. But Matthew chapter 6, and I'm just going to go through some things that the Lord has showed me, and he's showing us even more things as we go through this. And if you missed last week's message, request a CD of it because it was good too. And the Lord has taken us somewhere here. But Matthew 6, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 15. But you, somebody say me, right? When you pray. And I had watched a Kenneth Hagin Sr. YouTube video a couple weeks ago about this very topic, and he spent several minutes just talking about you when you pray, and how a lot of believers get into the habit of always wanting someone else to pray for them. And that's not bad, but he said as you grow up from being a baby Christian to an adult Christian, you need to know how to do your own praying, right? So he was focusing on that term, when you pray. And that's what gave me the inspiration for the title of this message series, when you pray. Somebody say, when I pray. Not if you pray or you should pray, it's when you pray. And I remember one of the old time, Smith Wigglesworth or somebody, they were talking about something he said when someone asked him about his prayer life. And he said, I never pray more than 15 minutes a day or so. But then he said, but I never really go more than 15 minutes without praying. So it's like, so in other words, this is a constant open dialogue of communication with the Lord going on. Amen. But when you pray, verse 6, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father, somebody say, my Father, right? See, Jesus wanted to hammer home first thing, God is your daddy. And that might have been something that was rocking the world of people, his disciples, in terms of thinking of God as Father. Amen. And I remember Brother Larry Lee spending many, many moments teaching us, God is your heavenly Father. And man, that just revolutionized my thinking as whatever I was, 16 or whatever. I got it. It's like, yeah, I get it. That's a great thing to understand about God, right? If you're born again, God is your dad. He's your heavenly Father. And God doesn't have grandchildren, second cousins. No, son or daughter, and that's it. Amen. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And this does not mean to me that, like, when there's different types of prayer, right? In our pre-service prayer room, I'm praying out loud. I don't care if people in the other room hear me. And that's not because I'm using vain repetitions and showing off. It's because that's a pre-service prayer. We're interceding. It's corporate prayer. But there are times where you come away with God by yourself and you and God are spending time alone, right? We see examples of both in the Bible. Jesus would go off to a place by himself and have that communion time with the Father. And then we see other places like Daniel. Who remembers Daniel? When he threw the windows open and prayed so everyone, loud enough so the people down below could hear him. Not so because he was showing off, but that's what he was doing, right? So, amen. It's really, like many things with the Lord, it's a matter of the heart, right? Amen. So therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, just say this out loud together, read it along. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And verse 14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So how many of you want God to receive and hear your prayers, right? So we need to be people that are walking in forgiveness toward others. Amen? Including yourself. Even things you have against yourself can hinder your prayers. Somebody say, I forgive me. Amen. I forgive and release everyone who has sinned against me. I forgive myself. I receive my forgiveness. Now that means there is no blockage between me and God right there. Amen. But we're going to be spending the weeks ahead going through every verse of this prayer, and the Lord's going to give us some things to share about it. Amen. But today specifically, Let's back it up a little bit. Matthew 6:6 in the Passion Translation says this, but whenever you pray, somebody say, I pray, right? Go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God, praying to him in secret, and your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. And the Lord really wouldn't let me get past that last week as I was studying, because I hadn't seen necessarily this before, or if I had, I've forgotten, right? But the secret place he's talking about there is not necessarily a certain room in your house. It's okay to have a prayer room, that kind of thing. We have this room over here we've designated as a prayer room. But what he's really talking about here, the Lord was showing me, was in your own spirit. You have a place where God resides inside of you. How many know the Holy Ghost came to live on the inside of you, right? So there is a innermost chamber inside your own being called your spirit where you go to be alone with God. And the enemy, the devil, has created counterfeits of this. Meditation, you know, whatever people do when, you know, they try to do things spiritually, they get goofy. They're opening their spirit to other spirits. You don't want to open your spirit to any old spirit, right? You come alone with God into your innermost chamber, your own spirit, and be with him. Be with Father God, right? And that word secret place means inward, right? So when you have an issue you're dealing with, you don't have to look out here for the answer. The answer, he's already on the inside of you. He's closer than the air you're breathing. Amen? So we come away with God, we turn inward, and we come and be with God, praying in the Spirit, praying with understanding, praying in tongues. Somebody say, get into the Spirit. That's why when we're facing challenges and obstacles and issues, we need to keep, like Brother Copeland says, keep the switch of faith turned on, right? Because you need to stay in the Spirit, right? Keep things in order, spirit, soul, and body. Not body, soul, spirit. Body, mind, spirit. Soul, body, spirit. No, spirit comes first. The Word of God comes first, and then the rest of it lines up. Amen. Soul, mind, intellect, what I see, what I feel, you're not going to tell me how to feel today. You're not going to tell me what to do today, what not to do today, what to believe, what not to believe. I see this in the Word, and this is who's on the inside of me, right? And again, this isn't saying that you are like a lot of the criticisms of the Word of Faith, psycho people, as some would say, right? Or you're saying you're a little God. That's a lie. Nobody that I listen to that are publicly criticized by people that I don't even need to mention because they're just modern day Pharisees is all they are, right? Nobody that I listen to has ever said you're a little God. Creflo, Brother Copeland, that they call by name, nobody says that. What they are saying is this. He is living on the inside of you. Hang out with him. Get into your spirit. Spend time with God. That's why I shared last week. That's it. When I get alone with God, I get in my spirit and I think of my spirit like a really cool cabin like this. That's just a private place. It's a private place where I meet with my Father. And I get alone with him and it's cozy and it's clean and we fellowship together and we talk about things. And I don't just spend time telling him about everything. You do. You know, it's good to pour your heart out to him, but then we listen to him. We spend time listening to him, worshiping, praying in the Spirit, spend time in tongues. And don't you know, you can do this at 5 a.m. or 5 p.m. You could do it if you're in traffic for 2 hours on the way home from work. I can turn off the news and off sports and get right into the Spirit and not crash into anybody while I'm driving. Right? Amen. On the bus, at school, at work. Amen. It's good to have that routine of, you know, that time that we get away with him regularly, but you can get it. You don't have to go looking for your prayer room. Oh, if I just had my prayer room right now, you have it. It's with you. It's built into you. Amen. And that's the place where he resides. Praise the Lord. So we come away with our Father God to that private inward place. Amen. And this again is what it means about don't let anybody talk you out of your blessing. Right? Oh, that's just a bunch of da-da-da. No. You can, you know, walk in that if you want to, but as for me, I see this in the Word, and so I believe this. This is how I'm going to pray. I'm going to come away with God in that interior place that's on the inside of me and be alone with him, and I'm going to see some results to my prayers. Amen. I'm going to come away and commune with my Heavenly Father. But we want to look today again at verse 9. It says, in this manner, this is Jesus speaking, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, somebody say, our Father. Just thank the Lord for being your Father. And this is what I do. And I also want this to be a little bit like an interactive message where we're not just talking about it, but we're doing it. So just spend 30 seconds and just thank God that he's your father. Lord, I thank you that you are my father. This is what I do. I'm my father who is in heaven. Lord, I thank you for being my heavenly father today. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I come to you, Lord, and I just lay myself at your feet. Early in the morning, and I could do better with this, and I will. But early in the morning, first thing I do is I don't just get up and open my Bible and start doing my daily Bible reading. I'll just go sit in the living room by the fireplace, and I go there. And I just quiet myself. And I listen. I might get the coffee going or something, but I'll just go and be quiet before the Lord and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Sometimes I might do a little walking, you know, around. But I'm just getting into that place before God. And just listen, quieting myself. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are my Father. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. But this next part of the prayer, and you can spend, you know, 30 seconds there. It depends on what time you got to go, really, right? How's your schedule? God understands schedules, right? Sometimes I do this while I'm driving to work because I didn't get to it, didn't get up early enough, whatever, right? Or just have a very busy day. I'll get to the Word, get my Word read, and I'll get in the car, and wait a second, I haven't gone through my prayer yet. Turn the radio off, turn the noise off, and I'm praying this while I'm driving. Amen? So there's not this in box way you have to do this, right? Amen. So he's our Father. Somebody say, Father. Father God, right? And then, hallowed be your name. Somebody say, hallowed be your name. And this is the place where we just meditate. A lot of meditation in this. And Brother Lee again taught us this. We meditate on who God is. Hallowed be your name. Lord, holy is your name. Holy is your name. And there are a number of names in the Bible that describe God's character. It's important that we know the character of our Father, right? And I have some verses here in the Bible there. Genesis 16:13 says he is Jehovah Roy, right? This is the story of Abraham's, what was Sarah's Egyptian maid's name? Hagar, thank you. Brownie points for Teresa, amen. Double today, wow, you are on, amen. But Hagar, yeah, she was put out of the house, right? Kicked out. And she laid her little baby off, you know, Ishmael. Some of you, and I would encourage you to go back and read the whole chapter of these. I mean, we're going through them like bullet points. Go back and meditate on these things. But she was in a spot, right? Kicked out from Sarah, and she thought her little boy was going to die. She laid him off a distance away and came and was just crying. And an angel came to her and said and encouraged her. And gave her a word about her son and what he's going to do and showed her a well, right? Oh, that encouraged her, right? And she said, God, you are Jehovah Rohi. And she said, then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees, right? The God who sees. So it's good to know wherever you're at, God sees you. My Father sees me today. He's seeing to whatever my needs are today. Isn't that encouraging? I mean, just, we could take each one of these and do 4 weeks on it or more, but the Lord wasn't leading me that way. You can study that out. What does that mean to you? You are the God who sees. Amen? Jehovah Rohi. And I put these in kind of chronological order in the Bible, but there's no specific order to them, right? One might jump out at you one day and another one another day. It's just, you might spend the whole day sometime thinking about, oh, you're the God who sees today. Hallelujah, right? And this certainly isn't all he is. But these are many that are recorded in your Bible, right? Genesis 22:14, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, most everybody knows, especially in the faith church, right? Jehovah Jireh, or Yireh is actually how it's pronounced. Brother Keith Moore corrected me on that once. Jehovah Yireh. which is, this is when Abraham was gone up the mountain to sacrifice his son, right? Out of obedience to God. And he's got the knife, right? And Isaac is on the altar. And the angel cries out, hold your hand, hold it, hold it, hold it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And there was you can read about it. And there was over in the thicket a ram caught. And my boys and I went to Cabela's last week. And man, I've never been there before. Awesome. Awesome place. And there are dead animals everywhere. I mean, stuffed, you know, and wolves and moose and elk and turkeys and just, you know, cougars and rams. They had bighorn sheep, I think. And he looked over and there's this ram caught in a thicket. And he says, oh, you are the God who provides. He provided what? A substitution for his son. And of course, this is all prophetic of Jesus. But what we recognize here is he is the God who provides. And don't you know, he doesn't change. If he provided then, he'll provide today. Amen? That encourages us to remember, you are the God who provides. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So what is that you need? You come to him and you say, Lord, I thank you no matter what. See, I'm not just coming with him, throwing all my junk at him. I'm going through this little checklist first, okay? We're in the room, hallelujah. You're my daddy, hallelujah. Okay, you see me, hallelujah. You're my provider today. You're my provider today. Yeah, but we had that conference call, remember? But you're my provider today. Amen, right? And we keep our eyes and ears open to him, coming to him, remembering who he is. Praise God. Look at Genesis 26, 22. Rahabeth, somebody say Rahabeth, right? Jehovah Rahabeth. So he called its name Rahabeth because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. You can read this chapter. It's about Isaac. And he is struggling with other people that are in the land and they're taking things from them. And finally they get to a place where there is peace and their adversaries are not messing with them anymore. Right? And he says, I'm calling this place Jehovah Rahabeth. You are Rahabeth because you have made room for me. And cause me to be fruitful, right? So what does that tell me when I'm coming to prayer? I'll come and say, Lord, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rahabeth. You are the God who makes room for me today and causes me to be fruitful. What does that mean to you? Well, it could mean a new house, right? Could mean promotions at work. Could mean education, right? Could mean fruitfulness in your labors, whatever. Could mean your prayers are effective. Whatever you're praying out over your family is working. The devil tells you it ain't, but he's a liar, right? And so we just meditate in these things and we spend time praise. Like I said, you can go through this whole prayer in a few minutes, or you can spend all day in this prayer if you wanted. Just keep coming back to it. Amen. Jehovah Rahabeth, the God who makes room for me. And I think of that as our church. Right? We're making room for another congregation to come in and enjoy this place too. And God's going to continue to make room for us. And where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do, that's just who he is. That's part of his character. Right? Rahabeth. Somebody say Rahabeth. Amen. Rapha. Here's the next one. Exodus 15:26. I think I left the word out of this. I am. Somebody say I am. You can write it in there. I am the Lord who heals you. Rapha. Amen. And he's talking to Moses, to the children of Israel, reminding them he is their healer. He is their healer. Somebody say, he's the Lord who heals me. So we come to him in our prayer and we just thank him for it. See, a lot of the Lord's prayer is just thanking him for who he already is. Lord, I thank you that you're my daddy. I thank you that you're my provider. I thank you that you see me today, that you're making room today. I thank you, God, that you're the God who heals my body today, heals my family, heals my home, heals me financially. You know, he's your healer. Amen? So we thank him for this. Exodus 17:15, Jehovah Nissi. Somebody say Nissi, right? And Moses built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner." And if you'll read this chapter, the children of Israel experienced a great victory against adversaries that could have destroyed them on this day. And they got the victory supernaturally from God. And Moses said, he built an altar and called its name, "The Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi." My victory, my protection. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that today is a day of great victory and protection. No weapon the enemy forms against me or my family or my church or my country. You just spend time in there worshiping God. Let the Holy Ghost. That's where, you know, you put the Holy Ghost into it. You're not just reading words, right? Going through a checklist. You pray in the Spirit, you come back to the name, you pray in the Spirit, you wait, you get quiet, you know, just let the Holy Ghost lead you through this. Amen. But we're thanking God that today, Lord, I thank you that you are my banner today. You are my victory in every area of my life today. Praise God. And then there's Exodus 31:13, Kadesh. Somebody say Kadesh. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Praise God. He's the God that sets me apart from the world. Amen. He is the God that by the blood of Jesus, just spend time there thanking him. Lord, I thank you that you're the God who sanctifies me today. You're Jehovah Kadesh, my sanctification, and I receive my sanctification. Lord, I am separated to you today from this world. I'm not a goat, I'm a sheep. Amen. What are we doing? We're setting our coordinates, right? And we're thanking God for the work that he's done. Amen. He is the God who sanctifies me. That, you know what that tells me too? Don't get too frustrated with yourself where you're missing it, where it feels like you're missing it again. Just say, Lord, you know what? There's not enough power in me on my own to change my shoes, let alone change my character and my habits and the things that I say and do. But I thank you, Lord, that by your Spirit, you are the God who is sanctifying me and helping me to become more like you. Amen. And we rest in that, right? He is the one who's doing the changing. We're the ones doing the believing and the obeying, right? And the confessing and repenting when needed, right? But we're coming to him and saying, God, I thank you that you're the one who is setting me apart. You're the one who's making me a sheep and taking me out of the goats. Amen. There's a scripture there where Jesus talks about separating the sheep from the goats, and we want to be a sheep. Amen. So we thank him for that. And then there's Jehovah Shalom, Judges 6:24. Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." Amen. He is our peace. Somebody say, he's my peace today, right? And so we just praise and we thank him. Lord, I thank you that just like Gideon experienced that breakthrough of peace in his life, Lord, that you are my peace today. The peace of God in my family, the peace of God at work, the peace of God in our country. You just let the Holy Ghost pray through you. Amen. You're my peace, Jesus. I thank you for that, God. You are Jehovah Shalom, my peace. You go to Israel, that's the common greeting, right? They'll say, Shalom, Shalom, Sabbath peace. Well, Jesus is your Sabbath peace. Amen. So no matter what's going on around us, what other people are doing, how many know there's opportunity every day to be offended? I was actually praying some of this stuff just Friday, I think it was. And I'm thinking, I was doing the forgiveness part. I was like, Lord, I forgive everybody. I'm going to walk in forgiveness. And literally, this dude cut me off on the freeway. And Lord, forgive that idiot in the name of, I mean, I apologize, Lord. Help him get where he's going. He's probably an ER doctor. Help him, Jesus. But you know what I'm saying? You just walk it out. Amen. You pray it out, and you set your course. Lord, today you're my peace. No matter what is going on around me, no matter who emails me or what people say to me or what mood so-and-so is in or whatever, I'm going to hold my peace in you. We can't hold, we can't control what happens around us, but we can control how we respond to what happens around us. I got three kids playing basketball right now. There's a lot of opportunities to get mad. Had refs and coaches and other parents, and instead it's like, no, go, woo. Yeah, that was a foul, but it's okay. Way to go. Keep learning. Keep learning how to ref. Just kidding. No. And then it's like, thank you, Lord, that my kid got away with a foul right there. Everybody saw that. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we just choose to walk in that peace of God. Amen? And if and when we drop it, we pick it back up again. The Holy Ghost is there to remind you quickly. Hit. Pick it up again. Put that down. Pick that up. Drop that offense and pick up the peace. Amen? And that's what we do. And sometimes it may mean I have to apologize to somebody. I've had to apologize to my family numerous times. Kids, dad is sorry. I apologize that I said that I talked to you that way. And then, you have to fight the urge to make an excuse. Here's why dad got upset. I'm sorry, but, well, no, you're not sorry then. Amen. Oh, preach on, right? And then there's Jehovah Parazim. Say Parazim. Oh, this one is one of my favorites. Y'all, you get your favorites. You love God, but you get to certain parts of God, and you're like, oh, I like that one. Hallelujah. But see, I can't expect him to be Jehovah Parazim without him being my sanctification. Now, sanctification, that's the one maybe I might be a little bit less excited about, because that usually involves some discomfort on my part. Right? But he's Jehovah Parazim, 2 Samuel 5:20. The Lord has, this is David, he had his enemies come against him. The Philistines came against King David, to kill him, to destroy him, right? And he experienced a mighty deliverance that day. And here's what he says. The Lord has broken through my enemies before me. Don't you love how David wasn't in the habit of taking the glory and the fame for himself? He knew where, he was smart enough to know where the victory came from, right? That's important for us as believers. No matter how blessed you get or how healthy you are or how victorious your life is, it's not you doing it. Somebody say, it's not me doing it. It's God. It's God. And when somebody comes to you and says, hey, how come everybody else stayed home from work with the flu and you're still here and you're fine? Because God's my healer. Amen? Because of the Lord. Hallelujah, right? Well, here he says, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim, breakthrough. It actually translates master of breakthroughs. Oh, man. I mean, that's something to just camp out on for a while. Lord, I thank you that you are Jehovah Parazim, my breakthrough. I'm talking financial breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough, physical breakthrough, break. Lord, it is breaking through. It's breaking. You can march around all day. Lord, you are my breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus, that you're my breakthrough. Somebody say breakthrough. That's who he is. We're talking about his character, his nature. Amen? God didn't put that thing on you to teach you something. If you go there with religion, right? Oh, Jesus suffered. And so he's going to put suffering on you so you'll be more like him. Lies. That's religion, right? No, he didn't put a disease on me to humble me and teach me something. The devil's the one who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and life what? More abundantly. Amen, right? So you just march around that house, right? You're praying in the Holy Ghost. God, I thank you that you are Parazim, my breakthrough. today. Satan, you don't have a chance. And you start talking back to that thing that's threatening you. Amen? Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for being Perazim today. Got time for a couple more? We got to step it up here. Jehovah Ra. Somebody say, Ra. Ra. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. So we just spend time thanking him for being our shepherd. What's a shepherd do? Protects you, provides for you, pulls you out of danger. Lord, help my ears to be tuned today to hear your voice. Amen. Lord, clean out my ears. That's a good prayer. Clean out my ears today, Lord, and help me to remember you're my shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll guide you to the water. He'll use that staff to smack the wolf over the head, right? And all you got to do is stay by the shepherd. We can't be sheep that are wandering off by ourselves. That's where the cougars are and then the bears, right? No, we stay with the flock. A lot of Christians out there today not in church because they think they can just do whatever their little sheep self wants to do. Sheep can be dumb, right? But the shepherd says, come be with the flock. Come gather with the flock. Yeah, but there's some weird other sheeps out there. Well, nothing's more weirder than being a sheep out by yourself in the wilderness. Amen? That's called a snack. I heard for the wolf, right? I heard somebody preaching this week about lions. And he said, you know, lions are looking for, the devil roars, you know, goes about like a roaring lion. They're looking for the weak, the feeble, the ones that are off by themselves. Because that's easy fixings, right, for the food. So what do? We stay around the flock. Stay in church. Hallelujah. Okay, so Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jeremiah 23:6. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you that you're my righteousness today. Hallelujah. You need to spend time praising God for that. God, I thank you that today you're my righteousness. Religion tells you you are a sinner. The word of God tells you you have become the right. Jesus became your sin so you could be made his righteousness. So you don't call yourself a sinner anymore. You say, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So everywhere the Bible talks about, go through Proverbs, it talks about rewards for the righteous. And so that's you. Somebody say, that's me, right? Because he is your righteousness. So you are qualified for all the rewards of righteousness, not by your good looks and your good works, but because he is your righteousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we just spend time meditating on that. Do some studying. Get on Bible Gateway and type in the word righteousness and just start looking at all the verses that come through. Pick a couple and put it on your note card or whatever. Use this as a guide, whatever. But it's just a great way to, you know, keep ourselves sharp. Keep in that place of prayer, right? So Tsidkenu, my righteousness. How about Shammah? Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah. The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And I remember Brother Larry Lee talking about, I think he said it in terms of God who's always there for me. Always there. Well, I think he said something like, he's the God who's whoever I need him to be, whenever I need him to be it. Amen. Right? And this prophecy specifically is about the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. But guess what? You and me, we don't have to wait for that. He's already here. He's on the inside of you. He is always there on the inside of you. He's not living in temples made of brick anymore, right? Praise God. So you know he is there for you. Even if you don't feel he's there, guess what? If you're born again, he's there. He's home. He's there waiting for you. Wherever that is to you, you might think of a beach or a Starbucks or whatever, right? I think of this. I just think, you know what? He's there. If I'm not feeling him, it probably means I haven't been around there in a while. Dad's home and I'm out dealing with it myself. No, Come home. Somebody say, come home. Come on into that quiet place and stay a while. Amen? Shama, the Lord is there. Just thank him that he's there. Lord, I thank you that you are here right now. Isn't it? That's a comforting thought to just meditate on, right? Amen. And you can tell other people that are searching for God. Why are you looking everywhere else? He's right here. He's waiting. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Just let him in. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. And then finally, I love coming back to this. Colossians 2:9. Don't you know the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus encapsulates everything. So if you don't have time for anything else on a given day, just say, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. And you're throwing everything at the devil. You're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at the devil. You're throwing the breakthrough, the healer, the provider, just everything. Because what does it say in Colossians 2:9? For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness. Somebody say all the fullness. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is why the E in redeem stands for exalting Jesus. To many religious people, worshiping Jesus is idolatry. That's not true. What the word tells us right here, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, man. Hallelujah. So what does that tell you? We're talking about a flesh and bone man. That in him dwells all. So you, by your faith in him, guess who dwells in you? In the fullness. So who's ready for the fullness today? Amen. Doesn't the world need to see the fullness of God in operation? Amen. I like watching the old Star Wars movies. And on New Year's Eve, we had a Star Wars-a-thon, right? And every one of them almost has to do with the Death Star, right? They're building a Death Star. I wish Disney would have been a little more creative. Instead, they bought it. Well, couldn't you think of something else besides another Death Star? I mean, come on, you're Disney, right? Use Goofy or something, but maybe not. But the Death Star in its fullness, I mean, you watch some of the news, and they're developing the Death Star, and it makes like a little hurricane or, whatever they do, a little volcano comes up out of the ground, and it's awful. But you see, look at the first Star Wars, and you'll see the fullness. When they go to Princess Leia's planet, right, and psh, gone, right? We're ready, and in a good way, we're ready to see the fullness of God's power on this planet. Amen? And I just really feel that us getting more serious about spending time in prayer and in God's word and in that secret place, don't you know, that's why Jesus, you know, he didn't tell his disciples and those coming around him, don't ever try this, I'm Jesus, right? What would he say? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Right? And he would compliment people that had faith, right? Where did that come from? Right here. He spent time alone with Dad. And then he came down and in the Holy Ghost, and man, no devil wanted to mess with him. People come with sickness and diseases, and they just like our brother Richard, came out well. Came out well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Just stand up on your feet and just begin to thank the Lord for all that he is today. Just begin to thank him. Lord, we thank you that you are our daddy. You're our Abba. Oh God, we thank you for times of quiet and peace and serenity, just being in your presence, hanging out. Well, it's not just about business, Lord. It's about a relationship, a loving relationship between a father and daughter, father and son. And I think of it in terms of my own being a dad. I love being a dad, and there's the protective side, there's the provision side, there's the correction side. But my favorite thing is just hanging out with my kids and doing stuff with them. It's a joy. And our Father is the same way. Father, I just thank you for giving us all insight into this, Lord. Showing us, God, where how to connect with you, Lord, as we're looking at this. Drawing us there by your Spirit. And for greatly deepening our relationship with you. This is not a ritual. This is a relationship. It's a reality. Your righteousness is a reality in him. Somebody just pray this after me. Say, Father God, I thank you for that place of prayer, for that inward place to come and be with you. Thank you, Father, for that. I will meet you there today and often. Make me sensitive, Lord, by your Spirit to hear and listen and obey you. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day, everybody, and thanks for coming to church. Amen. And there's probably some refreshment, coffee. Amen. Thank you, Miss Karen, for bringing refreshments in. Bless your heart. We promise to partake. Amen.